Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of April 18th, 2011. I'm your host, Zach. Joining this week is just Chris.
Sorry.
It's a busy week for everyone. Apparently. But we're still going to give you an episode. We're not going to leave you hanging. But probably just going to be a quick one. So, I want to kick it off with show and tell. Chris, have you been watching anything over the last week?
Yeah, whenever I was managing to finish work, I had Netflix open in another window, and I started watching Creator. It was like on. It was the first thing that Netflix was like recommending me this week. I'm not like it's a little like it's a movie that really I'd never seen before. It's not like a whole new genre or anything, but it's just a movie that like no one talks about.
I've never even heard of it.
Only because like.
Huh? I never heard of it.
Yeah, me neither. But Netflix was like, "You must like this." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Was it like, you like dark, gritty, violent comedy action,
family-oriented movies with horror? Like, oh, okay. But Creator is it's an interesting movie because it stars Peter O'Toole.
Mm-hmm.
For those who know their movies, Peter O'Toole was Lawrence from Lawrence of Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you've seen that, like, that's a great movie. You know, it's all these, like, films he was in. He was in, like, almost every movie he was in, he's been, like, pretty popular, and, like, he's won awards. So I was kind of surprised he was in this thing, because it's like, I never heard of this movie. So I watched it, and I was like, okay, this is, like, the movie a really good actor, like, does at the end of his career, then stops making movies. You know, it's one of those, like,
it's like
this is how you close the book.
Like Sean Connery in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Kinda. But at least League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was, like, a popular idea before it became a movie, and even then it was, like, this big risk, because, I don't know, I still kind of like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I didn't like the way it was portrayed in the movie, but, you know, at least they made a movie.
Yeah.
And that kind of funded, like, the company to do other Alan Moore comic movies. So,
even though he hated them?
Yeah, I was like, a little bit.
Hmm? Even though he hated them?
He doesn't watch his movies, but that's fine. Like, it's a different adaptation, but Alan Moore's weird. He hates money, so.
He's like a mountain man.
Yeah. He just draws up really messed up cartoons and stuff. But back to the Creator, which, you know, it's not much plot. It's about this old professor, just like the kind of professor you wish you had in college. Is like, just witty and British and just, like, doesn't give a fuck about college rules, who decides to clone his dead wife from 25 years ago. And Peter Chu was kind of old in this movie. He's, like, 60-something, maybe 70 years old. And he's cloned. This is before, like, cloning was getting more popular because this was filmed in 1985. So the concept of, like, cloning was still, like, kind of, like mystery science. So he decides that, you know, he's going to clone this. He's got a few, like, spare cells from his wife somehow, which I don't understand how, like, he just has, like, a container of, like, of cells. Like, they don't call it skin cells or, you know, Jurassic Park.
It's like, not, like, blood DNA. Or anything?
Like, this is just, like,
It's not, like, blood or spit or anything. It's just, like,
no, it's just cells. Like, they don't explain any more science than that. And he decides to clone her, and he gets this new assistant, this bumbling assistant named, like, Boris, I don't know, it's played by, like, this Jewish-Italian actor, but they make him seem Polish or Russian or something, but, like, so, like, him and Boris, and it sounds comical, because Boris is never, like, it's either your stern, like, KGB agent, or your, like, some fat Russian, like, professional drinker or something like that, but, like, this, it's like a New Yorker named Boris, or something, it's weird. Anyway, and, like, they have these little side stories, that just happen. Like, Boris is introduced real fast, and then he's, like, this bumbling nerd who's in graduate school, and, like, he enrolls in this high, like, science, like, course to pursue, like, a girl. So, like, you know, hey, pretty girl, I'm going to sign up the same classes to, like, know her better. And he ends up, like, enrolling in, like, super science or something like that. Something so weird and advanced, quote-unquote, that it's just, like, he's like, oh, no, I made a mistake. But then Peter Toole's like, you know, you seem like the kind of guy I want to, like, be my assistant for some strange reason. Even though you're, like, you're not qualified to, like, handle all this stuff. Like, it's just, like, the wrong, like, everything for this guy to do. But, like, as soon as the character's in juice, he gets a phone call, and then he goes to, like, and then, like, the next shot is, like, him going into his professor and goes, my dad just died. And the next scene is, like, post-funeral, like, walking on the beach, contemplating about life. It was so, like, what just happened? Like, the movie, I thought, like, Netflix skipped a scene. You know, like, my counter didn't move, like, a chunk. Like, it moved literally, like, a few seconds. And I was like, what? Oh, okay, I'll forget that. Then, like, it shows the scene, like, a few seconds later, it's, like, Boris hitting on the girl he initially wanted to meet in the beginning of the movie, like how he like accidentally signed in the class. It's like helping her move in her apartment and stuff, and just like, wait, how does she even know his name? Or like, okay, like I started like piecing together parts of like the movie that the movie should explain, but it's like I'm filling in fillers. Like I would pause the movie and think like, oh, maybe he got her name in a lecture, or maybe like they had lunch together. I don't know.
Or the movie's like maybe 3 weeks later.
Yeah, there's no time. It just happens. All this is like, this could have been like 2 years, but it's just so fast. I don't know what's going on. And remember, the movie's about cloning. So Peter Toole, like, he puts out a flyer for like eggs, for a woman's eggs, like her ovaries. Like, this is before Craigslist. So he just like, he hand drew like flyers and then posted them around their town, and they don't say what college they really go to. They're just like, university.
Mm-hmm.
They go to college.
College and university.
So, yeah, college, university. And so, like, some girl shows up, and she's like, oh, I think I might be pregnant. So Peter Toole, like, checks it out. Then he's like, you're not pregnant, but can I have your egg? And she's like, okay. And then, like, they fertilize.
Is he going to, like, grow his wife? Is he going to, like, have his wife be, like, a baby or something, or...
Right, yeah. It's weird, because, like, I don't think he knows what the hell he's doing. It's just kind of like, I want to clone something. I want to clone my dead wife so I can, like, be in love again.
It sounds like he's, like, impregnate an egg and then, like, have his wife, like, grow up as, like, a baby or something.
I don't know what the way he made it seem, it seems so innocent, you know? Just, like, I want to see my wife again. But, like, that takes years of, like, raising a child.
Yeah.
And even then, that's just creepy. Of course, it's like, they don't, like, think this far. As a writer, it kind of felt like they just were making shit as they went. And there's like, they look at the news and be like, cloning is a new topic. And they're like, yes, cloning. And then there's that girl that I didn't mention. She's this like unwed, like horny girl that got maybe pregnant, you know? So just like these very weird topics this movie's covering.
Mm-hmm.
Controversial topics. And like, I'm watching this and I'm just like, I have no structure. There's just no story structure to follow. So, after, like, he takes this girl's egg, whose name is just, like, Mel, and Mel's kind of like, oh, Professor, like, I think I'm falling in love with you, and Professor's like, well, like, that's great and all, but I really want to clone my wife so I can be in love again. She's, like, jealous of, like, the skin of these cells that aren't, like, fertilized yet. So they actually do make her, like, when they do get the thing fertilized, like, her ovary and his, like, collection of cells, like, there are those, it's more and more, like, piss and like acting like a jealous girlfriend or something, and the professor's like, oh, like calm down, it's fine. And it's like, this girl's like 50 years younger than the professor, and I'm just kind of like, oh, like this is an awkward movie to watch. And the whole Boris thing and like that girl, like that resolves itself, but then like the cloning thing, they actually managed to fertilize the egg with the new cell so it actually could begin life. But then like the university catches on what they're doing, because the way he's able to clone these to do the procedure and everything was using like school equipment. So the school came and took all the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, but that's like halfway in the movie too. So I'm just like, oh, so what's going to go on with the cloning? Because that's what I was kind of watching. And if you actually look at the poster, he's, like, mixing shit, and he's just like, I'm gonna make a clone. So, like, wait, you took away the main point of the movie was cloning this person, and then, like, they just take it away. And then the rest of the movie has nothing to do with the wife anymore, or cloning. It has to do with Boris's new girlfriend, who he actually finally, like, you know, got with, and he's like, oh, we're in a relationship now. And, like, she has an aneurysm. Yeah, like, she gets pregnant. Like, Boris's girlfriend, her name is Barbara, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
She gets, like, left field, I don't know, where, like, I'm pregnant. It's like, oh, okay. Then she's like, well, I gotta tell my parents, and they're thinking about it. And then she's like, my head hurts. And then she goes into an aneurysm shock or something. So the rest of the movie is Boris and the professor convincing the hospital not to pull the plug on the girl because she went into a coma. You know, like, it's just, that's the rest of the movie. And, like, they totally forgot about the whole cloning thing.
Wow.
What ends up happening, it's like, over the next, like, in the movie, like, the rest of the movie is, like, the professor talking about life, Boris, like, begging God for, like, letting Barbara live, and, like, Mel's like, well, Professor, I really love you. And the professor's like, yeah, I love you now, too, since my clone baby got taken.
Okay. Sounds like a Lifetime movie.
Yeah, like, end up, like, marrying. The professor ends up marrying Mel, and Boris is like, my girl, like, his girl, and Barbara, like, pulls out the coma, and, like, it's, like, they live happy ever after at the end.
Hmm.
Like, the cloning thing was kind of interesting the first, like, half hour of the movie or so. Like, you know, oh, and then it kind of went on and dragged on. Then all these, like, subplots build up. Like, I'm just talking about the things that are important. There's so many other subplots going on in the movie at the same time. And then, you know, the cloning thing, gone. Like, the main plot, done. And then it's just all this other unkept issues going on. I was like, wow.
Interesting.
I kind of, like, halfway through, you kind of forget, like, what the hell is going on in the first place.
Mm. It definitely sounds like a Chris, like, Chris weird movie.
But the thing is, it's not. Like, this came out in theaters. If this came straight to DVD, this makes better sense.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, they can be, like, a distributor.
Did it come out, like, the 70s, or was it, like, 80s or something like that?
85.
85, came out in 85. Okay. I was going to say, if it was, like, 70s, like, that makes sense, because 70s movies are so weird, but...
But, like, I understood, like, this is not, like, if Netflix is recommending me something, it's something that's ultra popular or so, like,
obscure.
We found this in the dirt. I want you to watch it.
It's like Netflix bought, like, licenses for, like, 1,000 movies for $10.
Yeah, so I was like, no, like, this is a typical Netflix instant watch movie. Like, this is it.
Yep.
I was surprised when they put on, like, popular movies like Toy Story 3. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't need to see, I saw Toy Story 3. I gotta do shit to do. I would stop doing work to watch Toy Story 3. But the creator, I can just, like, throw on and start doing my work and just not pay attention. And even if I did pay attention, it wouldn't matter. Every 5 minutes, some new plot development would happen.
So it's like,
it was just a crazy-ass movie.
It's like
and I looked it up online, like, who was in it, and I was like, oh, that's Peter O'Toole. Like, he was actually a famous Academy Award winner. I think he won an Oscar or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, this is like one of the movies he's in. I'm just like, Jesus Christ. How far have you fallen?
So,
I don't know. I've never seen a movie like this where halfway through they just drop the main plot. Especially these, like, big main plot. Like, you do so much more with the cloning plot line.
Yeah. So, anything else, Chris?
I like, was watching Terminator Salvation because it was on TV.
Okay. Wait, what was it on? Like, FX or something? Or?
No, it was on HBO.
Oh, HBO, like, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's on, like, cable or anything yet.
No, it's not that bad. Like, compared to the creator, like, I did stop doing work to watch some scenes from Salvation, because it's a good, like, oh, I remember this scene kind of movie, but it's not a good Terminator movie.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right. Like, it beats 3.
Yeah, it's better than 3, yeah.
But at least 3 kept with that story of, like, going back in the past and then, you know, doing time travel shit. So that was kind of cool. Actually, like, I respect 3 for the structure. But I hate 3's, like, overall acting and stuff. Like,
yeah.
4 looked good. Terminator Salvation looks like a good movie. It's just the really convoluted robot, spy, human, hybrid.
That was built by, like, the evil computer from Resident Evil and...
Yeah, that had the face of Helen Carter Bloom.
Helen Bonham Carter, yeah.
Yeah, and, it looked like a future Max door.
Yep.
And the weird, like, Terminator, like, harvester thing.
Yeah,
there's so many weird things that just I didn't get. Like, why did
we're thinking
why
to turn like, all the humans into Terminators or something? Or later it's like gonna do. I don't know. I forgot what they were gonna do with like all the why they're rounding up people.
They wanted to make more hybrid human Terminators, which, you know, their first model was Sam, whatever his name is from Avatar.
Yeah.
And like they totally didn't put like a shut off switch on him or LoJack.
We're just going to let him run around.
He'll run around and sex up people-ish.
Get into wacky adventures.
Yeah, and meet little orphan kids.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the end, though. The end was kind of cool up until the open heart surgery part that came out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, where, like, John Connor gets, like, the Terminator heart or whatever.
Yeah.
The super heart.
Like, you know, he's got a strong heart that no one else has a heart to give. You need to take away, like, the one robot that can just punch other robots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no offense in the whole, like, redemption thing, but it's kind of like, you have a soldier who can fight and who is, like, kind of, like, three men in one.
Yeah.
Like, he sacrificed someone else's heart. Like, I wouldn't put it past, like, giving... Just don't put Kyle Reese. Like, don't put Kyle Reese on the donor list. You're fine, but...
Yeah.
And I was just like, you couldn't find another heart? What if they cut him up and they realize they're the wrong blood type? Then you're kind of fucked, you know?
Yeah, or it's like metal or something.
See, I imagine there's more, like, qualifications to do open heart surgery. Like, I think you need, like, the right blood type, the right size.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. See, like, that kind of ruined the movie at the end. It's like, and boom! We need to kill this character off to... further this convoluted plot. I don't know. Maybe they ever make a sequel. Like,
yeah, it's supposed to be working on Terminator 5 or something.
Someone else.
It's supposed to be working on like Terminator 5 right now.
I'm kind of done with the whole like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like John Connor storyline. I kind of wanted to see the movie through someone else's eyes. You know?
Yeah.
It was kind of, that's why I like the Sam half robot guy. Like, that was not bad, but yeah, I didn't want to go watch John Connor, like, oh, hey, mom on tape, give me some answers.
I'm Batman!
Yeah, I was thinking, like, all the action scenes, like, Batman with a gun.
Another thing that was great about the movie was, like, they didn't have, like, all the crazy, like, laser guns and stuff, like, all the awesome, like, future stuff from, like, 1 and 2 and 3.
Oh.
It was just like, we're driving around in trucks and we have machine guns. And we have helicopters.
Just mounted on the back of this truck.
Like, where are the laser guns?
I remember there was a lot more garbage in the first movie opening scene.
Like, mountains of skulls and stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah. What the fuck's that in this movie?
It's just, like, random... It's like the random Nevada desert or something.
It was a good, like, Fallout-type kind of setting.
Yeah.
You know? But it wasn't a good, like, representation of the first movie. It's kind of like they it's inspired by the first movie, I get it, but the first movie had a lot more props in the sense of, like, their wasteland.
Yeah.
But then again, they fought this movie in, like, the desert, so that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, what did you see this week?
I saw a couple things. I went to the movies and saw Hannah.
Ah.
Which, I'd say it's half good.
Half good?
Yeah. Like, half of it is, like, this really awesome, like, spy thriller, sort of like Bourne or something like that. But then the other half is like this weird artsy, like, this girl's discovering life movie.
What? So it became like a coming of age tale?
Yeah, pretty much. Like a road trip coming of age movie for like the whole middle of the movie. Because you have Hannah and she's like, she grows up in like Antarctica or something with her dad, like hunting and like learning pretty much all these like useless facts and learning how to kill people. And then she finds that she's like ready to go on like this mission that her dad's been training her for, which is like go kill this like Marissa Wiegler, who's like super high up in the CIA and, like, killed Eric Bana's wife and, like, Hannah's mom. So, like, he's been training, like Hannah to, like, go and kill her. So she, like, sets off, like, this radio that's him finding him, and then she gets, like, captured by the CIA. And then there's, like, this awesome part where, like, she escapes from, like, the CIA facility and just, like, beats people, like, just, like, kills, like, five guys and stuff, and, like, it's, like, running through ear ducts and all this stuff. And then she escapes and, like, meets, like, this, like, British family on vacation in, like, Morocco or something, and just, like, joins them. And it's like, oh, I have a...
Wait, you mean a British family on holiday?
Yes, they're on holiday. And so she, like, joins up with them, and it's like, oh, I'm listening to music for the first time. I have a friend now. Yay! And you're like... I watched it with our dad, and we were like, just punch someone! I don't care if you're listening to music. There's, like, this, like, two-minute scene where she's, like, watching flamenco dancers dancing, and it's just like, oh, my God. Go back to, like, the spy stuff. But then, like, at the end of it, it swings back to the spy stuff, and it's pretty good. But, yeah, the whole middle is just, like, super artsy-fartsy.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's some good action sequences. There's, like, this awesome scene where, like, Eric Bana, like, arrives in, like, Berlin from the airport and, like, starts walking around. He realizes there's these guys following him, so, like, he, like, ducks into the subway and just, like, starts beating it. He takes on, like, five guys all at once and just, like, beats them all down. And then he also, like, has this awesome fight, like, at the end where, like, it's, like, this abandoned playground. He's, like, fighting off these two assassins. So he's using, like, the merry-go-round and the swing just, like, beat these guys down. There's also, like, a pretty awesome, Cate Blanchett, like, hires, like, this, like, assassin guy, but he's, like, creepily effeminate, and, like, runs around, he's, like, constantly, like, wearing, like, tennis clothes, and just, like, goes around, like, killing people while whistling, and he's, like, really creepy. It's pretty awesome.
That's horrifying. You're getting killed by some dude who just looks like he came out of, like, a Sunday, like, tennis racket practice.
Yeah, it looks like he was, like, playing cricket or something, just, like, having tea and cricket, but then he, like, kills you with, like stabs you in the eye with a pen or something. And Cate Blanchett's pretty good, too. She has, like, this, like, crazy southern accent, and she's, like, just going around acting really evil. And she's, like, obsessed with, like, her teeth. Like, she has, like, a full dentist, like, tools kit in, like, her bathroom. She's obsessed with, like, cleaning her teeth.
Is it, like, even, like, significant to the plot, or she just, like, dental hygiene?
Sort of like just like a quirk, I guess. Oh. Like, I guess the whole thing is like they're trying to make it like a fairy tale or something. So she's like, I guess it's sort of like she's like sharpening her fangs or something because she's like the big bad wolf. I don't know.
I see like the gay tennis player doing that more than like her. She's like usually a woman. She's not like saying sex or anything, but like if she was checking herself in a mirror all the time, then like I would see that, but.
Well, I guess she's sort of like the evil stepmother / wicked witch or something, if you're going like, by the fairy tale thing.
No, I kind of see like if they want a more like modern fairy tale with some action, there's more opportunity. But I read this movie was marketed as like
Bourne or something.
Bourne Identity, like the prepubescent years.
Yeah, and there's parts of that in there, but it's like the whole middle is really I don't know, lost me. But it's got an awesome score as well, like Chemical Brothers. I'd say not as good as the Daft Punk score from Tron Legacy or anything, but because it's not like as distinctive as like that score. It's sort of like awesome electronic music from like if you went to like Germany, went to a club or something. So I don't know. I'd say like. 2.5 or so for Hannah, if I was giving it a review.
Ouch. I mean, oh, it's not a movie I want to go see, so I kind of, like, understand that. It just, like, something about the movie didn't seem right, so I didn't see it. Yeah, something, like, kicked in. I was like, this is not going to be a good movie.
Yeah, it's kind of deceptive, trailers.
Because the thing is, they showed a lot of scenes with her in training more than showing her, like, outside of the Antarctic. So imagine like every scene of her being outside was like either again, like you said, bewilderment, like, ooh, what's this? To like just killing in the dark.
Yeah. So, I probably, if you, I'd say wait for that one on, like, DVD.
Is that even, like, a good rental?
I want to, like, put it like, top of your queue, but, like, if you put it in your queue, it would probably be... I want to throw it, like, if you put, like, 20 or something in your queue, it would be... It's probably where it should be. So I watched that. Also watched... There's been 2 episodes of the new Mortal Kombat web series.
Ooh, have you seen any of that? I totally forgot about that.
Forgot about Chris?
Oh, I saw the first thing they made, and I was like, oh, that's going to be cool. Like they're going to make this into a web series.
Like the teaser.
And they got sacked by all my finals, so...
Yeah. So they have... It's last Tuesday it premiered, and then they had a new episode this week. So it's been 2 episodes. And it's like, not quite like that, you know, the original teaser where it was, like, they're sending Scorpion in to, like, infiltrate this tournament or something. It seems more like the first Mortal Kombat movie, but, like, more, way more gritty. Cause, like,
the way it should have been?
Kind of. Like, the first 2 episodes have been, like, Jax and Striker. Or, like, they had this huge raid on Kano's, huge, like, his, like, big warehouse/arms factory. So it was like a huge gun battle, and then, like, Jax and Kano have, like, this big fist fight. And then there's, like, little hints to, like, robot ninjas and stuff. I guess, like, Kano's, like, developing, like, robot armor or something. Cool. And he's, like, he kidnapped Sonya and, like, locked her in the basement. she was trying to, like, gather intelligence about, like, Kano's operation. But yeah, it's pretty good so far. Actually, this week they had, like, it was, like, the big, like, finale. Because they had, like, Jax and Kano had, like, this big fight at the end of, like, the first episode. And then, like, they had, like, get away from a grenade that was going off. So then, like, this episode was, like, Jax, like, chasing him down before he, like, escaped the warehouse. And they had, like, a final, like, they had, like, a big final battle. But, like, no, there hasn't been any, like, Scorpion or Sub-Zero or any, like, crazy stuff. Yeah, it's just been, like, just police, like, army, like, special forces operations stuff going on. But I guess it's coming, because, like, the trailer for, like, this new series had, like Scorpion and Sub-Zero fighting in, like, some, like, winter place and stuff. And, like, I guess, I think I saw, like, Katana and, like, a bunch of other people. Baraka. So I guess crazy shit is coming, so we'll have to see. It's going to be like 10 episodes.
That's cool.
And those are going to up every Tuesday. So yeah, definitely check those out, because they're pretty good. Then I also saw the Lost Charlie Sheen classic, The Chase, on Netflix. Have you heard this movie, Chris?
No.
So, Charlie Sheen, I think it's like early like 91 maybe or 92, and he plays this guy named Jack who's like wrongfully accused of being a bank robber. So he gets found guilty, so he escapes and like tries to, he's like on the run. He goes to this convenience store to like buy cigarettes quick, but then some cops show up and like everything gets crazy. So he kidnaps Chrissy Swanson and like steals her BMW, and then the entire movie is just like them like outrunning the cops. So it's pretty much, like, the entire movie is, like, a big car chase. But it's sort of like this goofy sense of humor, because it's, like, action comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, you're always, like, you have, like, Henry Rollins is in it, and he's, like, this, he and his, like, partner, they're, like, cops, and they're getting filmed in, like, in the back seat, but, like, this, like, cops-esque show. So they're, like, they're constantly, like, describing what they're doing and, like, trying to, like, appear awesome for the camera. And then it's also got like this like satire about like how the media blows stuff out of proportions, because like all the news, like all the local news channels sort of like pick up on the story and start like going crazy with it. So like anytime something like anything like small happens, they're like, oh my god, this is getting crazy down here. Because there's like this one part where the cops try to box in Charlie Sheen in the car, so he pulls out a gun and like, I don't know, I guess he was just gonna like, he was just gonna threaten them or something. But he like hits a pothole and like the gun goes off and blows up one of the cop car's tires. So it flips off the road and like blows up, like this van crashes too. And so there's like a news helicopter following them. So the guy reporting is like, oh my god, he must be an expert marksman that makes a shot like that. We're guessing he's like some sort of ex-Navy SEAL or something. So they're just like constantly like making up all this crap. And then like this one news channel starts like straps a guy to the side of a van and like tries to get an interview with them and stuff. So it just gets crazy.
Is it like a? It's like the 90s, right? So
yeah,
it's a typical 90s movie. Just yeah, like see, like that's the era, the time where like they can make a movie out of the simplest things.
Mm-hmm.
These days, it's kind of hard to do that.
And you also know it's an early 90s movie because it has a cameo from Anthony Kiedis and Flea of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What's he doing?
It's like they're like these crazy rednecks who want to like get on TV by like helping stop the chase with their monster truck.
I think it says law enforcement like a monster truck.
Yep. So yeah, it's pretty good. It's kind of scary now because I'm sure like it's like it was all like it's all like a comedy goofy like back in the 90s, but like nowadays I could actually see like Charlie Sheen was like going crazy and like kidnapping someone and stealing their car and like just like going on like this crazy chase.
I'm Charlie Sheen. Oh my god.
Tiger blood. So, and then the last thing I saw was this past Sunday, they had the USA had the Burn Notice movie, the prequel movie.
Oh, forgot about that.
Forgot about a lot of things. Well, you're busy, so your mind is full of, like, code right now, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, the Fall of Sam Axe. So, told, like, what happened to Sam before Burn Notice started and how he ended up in Miami. And pretty much just typical Bruce Campbell awesomeness, like, completely cocky, one-liners, all, pretty much every line he says is, like, a one-liner or something. It's, like, I don't know. And then, like awkwardly hitting on, like, the female co-star and stuff. And there's also, like, there's not only, like, a lot of, like, inside jokes about Burn Notice, but there's also, like, a bunch of, like, inside jokes about Bruce Campbell movies. Like, there's two references to Army of Darkness and stuff. Like, at one point...
it's gonna haunt him forever.
Yeah, I know. Like, at one point, he uses, like, a chainsaw to, like, help defuse the situation. And it's not gonna, like, win any awards or anything, but it's fun. It's pretty much, like, typical Burn Notice sort of scenario. Where, like, Sam has to, like, go down to Columbia and, like, help, like, the local government, like, deal with these rebels, but then, like, things aren't what they seem. So... He ends up having to, like, help the rebels and stuff, and then, like, there's, like, evil government troops and attacking a clinic and stuff, so. It's actually...
Okay, is there any mention of, like, Michael?
Michael actually, like, I'm surprised, like, Michael actually shows up in, like, the beginning. And, like, they've actually, like, known each other for a while. But, like Michael just, like, he's, like, in town for, like, a few days, and, like, actually, the whole thing starts because Sam, like, sleeps with, like, this admiral's wife. And, like, the animal gets super pissed off, so.
You there?
Yeah. My connection went up for a second.
Ah.
So, yeah, the whole thing kicks off because Sam sleeps with, like, his animal's wife. And then the animal gets pissed off, and she's like, Axe, I'm sending you to Columbia! Michael meets Sam at, like, this, like, bowling alley, like, because, like, Sam wants advice from him. And, like, Michael shows up with, like, this, like, crazy beard, and, like, this crazy, like, undercover beard.
Is he, like, in character, or is he just like, hey, what's up?
No, he's just, like, unburned Michael. So he's just, like, he's back from some, like, mission in, like, Bulgaria or something.
Hmm.
And Sam,
so that's weird. It's weird to watch Michael, like, work that isn't, like, improv, like, garbage.
Like, doing that crazy voice or something?
Yeah, like having equipment that isn't just homemade or... But isn't a cell phone tied to, like, a balloon and then taped in aluminum foil.
Yeah.
It's like, I could use this as a spy on this guy. Like, mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, one of the fun things, like... It's not through the whole, like, Sam's narrating it through the whole movie, and there's, like, a couple of, like, Sam tips. You know how Michael gives, like, his spy tips?
Yep.
It's, like, there's a couple, like, Sam tips in there.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's definitely worth, like, if you're a fan of Burn Notice or like Bruce Campbell, you'll definitely, I'm sure you'll like it. And it's actually on everythingaction.com right now, so you can go check that out.
Yes, you might, because, you know, good thing to do.
Yeah.
Something to watch while doing work.
Mm-hmm. So, that's pretty much all I watched this past week. So, why don't we get to news quick, then we'll wrap this thing up. So, kick it off with some trailers from last week. I think the biggest trailer is probably the premiere trailer for Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Did you see this one, Chris?
Yeah.
Like, is this, like, I'm getting a very, like, Deep Blue Sea vibe from it. Because it's pretty much, like, the same plot as, like, Deep Blue Sea, where, like, they're discovering this cure for brain diseases, so, like, they inject it into animals, and the animals get super smart.
Well, it's good to know that, like, there were more than, like, three movies. Like, Planet of the Apes had a long and rich history that some people kind of forgot.
Yeah.
Like, they forgot there was a sequel, and all these weird things happen, and then this time travel to the past and stuff. Like,
yeah,
the first movie kind of just crapped out this. Like, the first movie was, 10 years ago. Like, the remake was 10 years ago almost, right?
Probably more. I think it was, like,
more, right?
Yeah, I think it was, like, 2001. Yeah, so, like, 10 years ago.
And that kind of wiped out in everyone's head, like, the chance of a sequel.
Yeah, because it was so fucking awful.
Yeah, it was. And actually, in retrospect, it wasn't the worst movie, because, you know, the original series was, like, the first one's okay, the second one.
Well, the first one is,
weird,
like, a classic, and then, like, kept going downhill and downhill.
Right, right. But at least this is, like, a more updated to the graphics, at least.
Yeah.
But the story was, I mean, but some of those things are, like, I didn't really see, like, you go to sci-fi conventions, and you see, like, the classic suits. No one sees the modern, updated monkey look and stuff, and...
Yeah.
You know, it's not as popular as it once was, but, like, who demanded the sequel? Again, another, like, category of, like, why?
I don't know.
Like, the Big Mama's House 3 sequel.
is this a prequel to, like, the Mark Wahlberg movie, or is this, like, a prequel to, like... every Planet of the Apes movie, because we already had the prequel, which is, like, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
The prequel is the third movie in the Planet of the Apes. The third movie takes place...
Well, there's... What was it? It was Planet of the Apes, then it was beneath the Planet of the Apes, and it was Escape from the Planet of the Apes, which was, like, the weird, like, 70s sitcom one, where, like, the ape family comes and, like, goes shopping in San Francisco and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they get gunned down.
I actually Wikipedia the whole series because I was kind of confused. I actually watched a few of them. I couldn't remember them as a kid, like which ones were which. Because what happens is in the end of the series, we're like near the no, it's like the third or fourth movie.
I think it's
the
fourth Conquest.
Yeah, Conquest. Yeah, it could be like before that. It's the one where like the sitcom style.
Where it's just like.
Humanoid
like
monkeys
Cornelius
like, walking
and, like,
around.
Cornelius and Zira come to like San Francisco.
Yep.
And then they're like shopping, and it's like Mary Tyler Moore or something, and then the end of it they're like gunned down on a ship.
Yep.
And then they have a baby named isn't it Caesar?
Yep. So what happens is
Caesar becomes like a slave because we start making monkeys and apes slaves and like doing like mini like. Menial jobs, like janitors and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But, you see, the two monkeys that made Caesars, they went into a space capsule from the first movie.
Yeah.
That crashed to go back in time mm-hmm. through a time hole because the planet got, like, the Earth's core got nuked by a nuclear missile. So it blew up the planet and all this weird stuff started happening.
Yeah, there's like,
so
the
this
crazy,
movie.
Like, there's like the crazy, like, cult, like, under, like, yeah, like, worship the nuclear bomb.
Well, yeah, it's like a restart.
And, like, Charlton Heston, like, blows it up.
Not just him. I think other people did.
Oh, I think he was, like, the one who set it off, finally. He's like, take this, you apes!
I think so. It's been a while since that one. But it's cool, because it's, like, this infinite loop of, like, events, because, like, you know... This is like the beginnings, how it got to that point, and then it restarts again by time.
Yep.
So it's kind of this loop. I kind of enjoyed that aspect, but I wish it wasn't the Planet of the Apes kind of way.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this new movie, I don't know.
I'm probably not going to see it. Like, it's got to be really convincing for me to go see this movie.
James Franco.
I just watched the original.
It's all James Franco's fault.
Yep.
But I guess, like, Weta Studios is doing the effects for this movie. I guess they're saying, like, it's going to be the most advanced CG character ever created with Caesar, the lead ape.
Most advanced monkey than a monkey.
Yeah. Like, in terms of, like, performance and, like, move, like animations and stuff, it's going to be, like, the most advanced character they've ever done.
Well, they did a pun on the apes to show off this new advanced technique? Like,
I guess so. I don't know. Well, they did King Kong, so I guess they have ape experience.
Yeah.
And
I didn't enjoy the new King Kong either.
It was alright. It was too long. But, and like, I guess Master Motion Capture Andy Serkis is going to be playing Caesar too, so. I don't know. It looks really, like, deep. Like I said before, I'm getting a Deep Blue Sea vibe. That's not very good. You know, Deep Blue Sea is, like, hilarious. Like, it's, like, a hilariously awesome. Hilariously bad B-movie. So, then we also got the full trailer last week for Cowboys and Aliens, finally. There was, like, the Super Bowl trailer and the teaser trailer, but this is, like, the full 2-minute theatrical trailer for it. Are you more excited, less excited, or as excited, Chris?
I didn't see the new trailer.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
I decided to not look at it. The more I look at it, the more I laugh at it. But, like, I kind of want to see it. I want to see it more than, like, Planet of the Apes, too.
Yeah. It seems like it's going to be, like, just, like, a dumb summer action movie. And it's, like, Jon Favreau's directing it, so I trust him to do something pretty good. Because he's on, like, Elf and both Iron Man movies, so he knows what he's doing. It's got Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford and Sam Rockwell.
The thing is, it has more, like, more actors I want to see in it than the story, because the story looks so... The story just isn't the title, and...
Yeah.
That's all you need to know, really.
Well, it's like the whole, like, why did Daniel Craig get abducted by aliens, and, like, why does he have that crazy thing on his wrist that shoots lasers and stuff?
It's the mystery I'll find
Who
out.
Who is Daniel Craig?
I don't want, like, the trailer to spoil
it.
The trailer didn't
really spoil it or anything. Just like, it was just, like, random scenes of, like, cowboys shooting at UFOs with six-shooters and stuff. But I like it looks, like, the alien ships look pretty cool. And there's, like, I like that, like, they, like, lasso, like, instead of, like, abducting people with, like, beams or something, they, like, lasso people and, like, suck them up in their ships.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure it looks pretty fun. Even though this summer's going to be freaking crazy, which we'll probably talk about in a couple weeks. And then the last trailer that came out last week was the trailer for Abduction. Did you see this one, Chris?
No.
It's Taylor Lautner, a.k.a. Jacob from Twilight, is trying to be like an action star. And it's sort of like Born Unknown kind of action movie where like, He's like this typical teenager, and then like his friend shows him like this like missing kid website that like shows like what kids would look like if they grew up, missing kids would look like today if they like aged, and like his picture shows up.
Uh-huh.
So then like because he starts asking questions like this like crazy like these like agents show up start killing his parents and like put him on the run, and then it turns out he's like some sort of like CIA like some of like CIA agents or something or like some sort of crazy asset or something they want back, so then like he's on the run.
The kid is?
Yeah, the kid is.
Tyler.
I guess like his parents were CIA agents and then like he's like the CIA wants him for some reason.
But is he be hunted or
yeah,
by the CIA or
hunted by the CIA. Like that like the person hunting him is like the head of the people hunting him is Alfred Molina. Who you might remember is Doc Ock or Raiders of the Lost Ark and a bunch of other movies. And then, like, he gets help from Sigourney Weaver. She says she's a friend of his real father and stuff, and so, like, she, like, goes on the run with him.
Hmm. Yeah, no.
Yeah. It seems like, I don't know who the audience is, because, like, action fans are, like, probably hate Taylor Lautner just because of Twilight, and, like, tween girls are going to go this and be like, I don't want to see action. There's too much shooting in this movie.
Why is he doing his shirt off more often?
Yeah. When's he gonna turn to a werewolf? So I don't know.
Like, honestly, like, that kind of plot just seems like that other movie, like I Am Four.
I Am Number Four. Yeah.
What happened to that movie? Did that movie do well?
No, it didn't. And it looked horrible.
I expect it.
Even with some Galifian in it. So anyway, moving on to other news, we have rumors that Bradley Cooper is in talks to play The Crow in the remake of The Crow.
That's not fit at all,
I don't think.
Like, I can see them making another Crow movie, because in the real, like, there's a series of Crow movies.
Yeah,
and
like DVD ones and...
Yeah, like, some of them are actually really good. There was and the cool thing is The Crow is not just like, oh, you're like Spider-Man. It's always like you're either Peter Parker or like you're some sort of derivative of Peter Parker.
Just like,
to get Spider-Man powers and stuff, to be a Spider-Man. But The Crow is really well-respected thing in the comic book, like the old-school comic book community. Like, not Golden Age or Silver Age comic, but like maybe like 80 comic book girls. It's like, I'm an 80s boy. I'm an 80s comic book story fan. We're like, plots are convoluted as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Characters are invented every other week for like villains and stuff. And like Spider-Man was still like doing crazy shit without like Aunt May knowing. Like, that was a series. And The Crow was a bunch of some dude's story to get over his dead girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And that's why the first comic and the first movie are really good, because there's a lot of like passion in it. And everything else kind of sucked. Like, the comics were a little weird. The first movie, like, it killed Brandon Lee. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty hardcore to kill the son of Bruce Lee. And now Bradley Cooper.
He's like,
I kind of like, but not enough to go in a Crow costume.
He's way too, like, smarmy. And, like,
he
cocky.
Smiles too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about that other movie he was in with the...
Like, I don't really see... I don't really see him as, like, dark brooding type.
The Crow is an emo character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost... Yeah, like... You're kind of like a mix between a Juggalo and a...
I can't really see, like, Bradley Cooper with, like, the like white makeup and, like, black eyeliner on.
Yeah, it's... Today, it's gonna be like, oh, what's this Juggalo movie about? The Crow?
Juggalo.
Like, what the fuck? No!
Big City Rustlers. Yes, I don't, like, who knows if this Crow movie's even gonna, like, we've been talking about Crow movie for, like, years, so, like, a new Crow movie.
They made that one Crow movie that killed the franchise with Edward Furlong.
Oh, yeah.
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. Like, the fourth or fifth directed DVD movie.
Ah, that was just... I watched that movie by accident, and I was just like, ah, I'll watch this as The Crow. And it had nothing to do with anything. It was such a... Like, I fucking waste my time. Like, I could be reading. I could be learning.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I really like the first movie. The second movie, I have this love-hate thing. Because it was pretty good. Iggy Pop was in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you don't need to remake the first one. The first one was so good.
Yeah.
That, like, it still lives on. Like, I'll watch that movie.
The bar was set super high.
Yeah. They made the TV show that...
Oh my
no
god,
watched.
Yeah.
Stairway to Heaven?
Stairway...
It was called The Crow, Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, yeah. Man.
It had Mark Dacascos in it.
Man,
he
90s...
Crow.
90s
it wasn't the best
shows.
Crow, but...
Highlander.
Highlander TV show.
Yep.
Highlander the Raven
RoboCop
TV
show.
What was another one? Henry and the Hendersons TV show.
Yeah, there was a bunch of those in the 90s. Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, but The Crow was actually I didn't know about it. It was on UPN, so no one knew there was a Crow TV show.
Yeah.
But I still won't buy it. Like, I walked past it through Best Buy. I was like, nope.
So, other bad news that they the original story that They Live was based on is going to be turned into a new movie by Matt Reeves.
Who directed one?
So They Live is based on this short story called 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wait. Yeah, yeah.
So I guess they're going to be like making a new movie based on that, directed by Matt Reeves, directed Cloverfield and Let Me In. And he said it's sort of like, it's going to be more like more realistic than like the Roddy Piper classic. Like there's not going to be like sunglasses or anything goofy like that. It's just like this guy wakes up one day and like he suddenly realizes that aliens are all over the place. Because he says, I mean, like more like a psychological thriller or something.
Hmm. The glasses parts was nice. It really made it like different in the sense you're not just wearing around crazy like you. You put on the glasses and you look and you saw all the visually.
Yeah.
I thought that was the important part of the plot element was you had to wear the glasses.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the original day was like a lot of the focus was on like making like satirizing like all like the 80s culture and stuff.
Mm.
Of like people's obsession with money and stuff, and it was like, this is your god on the money and everything. And also having, like, awesome, like, semi-staged fight scenes between Keith David and Roddy Piper. But I think...
Oh, man.
I think it's, like, oh, like, I love that movie, but there's, like... There's definitely, like, problems with it. And, like, it's, like, I could definitely see, like, a remake of, like, a more serious remake of, like, the original story. Like stuff just happens in, like the original They Live. There's not really like a plot going on.
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of watch where this kind of goes. You don't really care what because you don't know what to expect. Things just kind of happen.
Just like Roddy Piper just going around shooting aliens and beating people up.
Isn't he like a poor homeless man in the beginning?
Yeah, he's just like wandering around, like wants to get like a construction job or like in a. It's like living in that like tenement structure, like across from that church.
But, like, yeah, so it's not like...
like the aliens pull out like raid with like dump trucks and stuff, just like running over. Then that movie just like goes crazy at the end. But, like they like go underground and like the teleporting wristwatch, and they go like the spaceport and stuff. Like the secret alien lair, like underneath, like the entire world.
Yeah, and they're like satellite system that they innocently set up.
Mm-hmm. So they have to go blow up the satellite.
Yeah. What else? There was the aliens that got jobs. They had to be like talk show hosts and like.
Yeah, there's like the news guy was the alien
models,
old ladies and. Yeah.
I mean, good plot, aliens. You tricked us all, but except for one homeless man.
and another guy, like construction worker guy.
Oh no, the other guy was like his like boss or something, and because I remember that's why he gave such an argument to like.
Well, Keith David, you're just like some other like he was some other guy at the construction site or something. I think because he met him in the alley because he was like giving him his paycheck, like his like whatever like days he worked because he got fired or whatever from the construction job. He's like, put on the glasses, man. I'm not putting on the glasses. But yeah, like Matt Reeves, he has a good track record, so I'm sure he could do something pretty good with it.
I don't know. They don't need to make a direct sequel or remake. I felt like there's so much more in movies they could do, but they're just like, well, we don't really know anything, so we'll make this movie because it's like a comedy classic, that movie.
Yeah, it's a cult classic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cult classic. More. It's still like, for me, it's more of a comedy than like a sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I never read like the short story it's based on, but I guess like if you're going based on that instead of like. Like, don't, like, remake They Live, just, like, look at, like, the original story and, like, do something different with it.
It's like they remade iRobot already, and, like, they base it off of the original Do Electric Sheep Sleep, Dream of, Do Robots Dream of Electric Sheep.
That was Blade Runner.
No.
Like, iRobot was just, like, a series of, like, short stories that they turned into, like, a crazy Will Smith movie.
I see. My bad.
Mm-hmm. So, in the last bit of news this week, we had just a couple of first looks out. There was the completed special effects picture for Green Lantern. Were you able to see that, Chris? It was, like, Ryan Reynolds in, like, the full costume, completely done.
Yeah.
What is up with his
feet?
Yeah,
I saw that.
You see, like, his feet are weird.
They're, like, not proportioned right. Or they're, like, giant sock-looking things.
Yeah, he's wearing, like, socks. It's, like, at least, like, make sure... You can make anything you want out of your ring, like make some fucking shoes or something.
Well, in the comic, they wear a giant like jumpsuit thing, but that's comic world, so I can give that. But in reality, probably wearing boots or something.
It's like those. Have you seen those weird shoes that like have the toes, individual toes in them?
Yeah, like running shoes, the new age running shoes.
Yeah, like the hippie shoes. Yeah, it's like he's wearing those. It's really weird. But I guess it looks all right.
I still prefer my Green Lantern like in a jumpsuit than a CGI thing.
Like Green Lantern is still like definitely like way that like number three in terms of like the summer superhero movies.
So I can't believe they actually are making a Green Lantern movie because he's not. He's like the Lantern Corps is a really hard thing to explain. It's like all these aliens. They're like kind of like the UN of peacekeepers.
Yeah, like the. Team America, but, like, Team Universe.
Team Universe. Humans really don't have that much power, but, like, to be in this council, but then, like, we got, like, four on them.
Yep.
We did it. We have four members on your thing.
Definitely, like, Captain America is number one, then Thor, and then Green Lantern. And then there's another picture that came out, a couple pictures that came out last week of... Josh Brolin and Will Smith from Men in Black 3. And it was like a first look at what Josh Brolin's going to look like is like young K. Young Tommy Jones.
Sort of young K.
Yeah. He looks dead on. You see the picture?
I know. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Because like, we talked to this a while ago. I was like, wow, you know, if they do it, I could see it. And I like, showed him in a suit. I was like, yeah.
That is, it's like, Tommy Jones?
But isn't Josh Brolin taller and like thicker than Tommy Jones?
Maybe.
Wait, he looks taller. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. That movie has, like, no script. Right? It's just, like, they're just filming stuff.
They're filming it. They're making it up as they go. It's fine. Yep. We talked about it. An alien is trying to kill a young... They're using the Terminator plot.
Yeah.
Send an alien to the past to kill, like, future...
Kill Agent K in the past. Like, nothing... That's so they can, like, take over the future. It could be fun, but, like, because you're going to have, like, a bunch of, like, cameos from, like, famous people throughout history, like, Bill and Ted style. So, yeah, definitely needs, like, a trailer or something for that one.
I'm going to base it on the trailer. Like, I'll still see it. I love Men in Black stuff, so.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, the Ghostbusters of aliens.
Yeah, pretty much.
Even though evolution don't count.
I like evolution.
I like it too, but I don't like the TV show.
Oh god, the cartoon. That was so weird. So anyway, I think we'll wrap up the podcast with a newly released roundup. And kick it off with our pick of the week this week. So this week's Earth Day, so I thought for pick of the week this week... do something Earth Day related, and just so happens that Captain Planet and the Planeteers Season 1 is on DVD this week. So that's our pick of the week.
Yeah.
Captain Planet, man. He's a hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
We kinda need it now.
I'm sure that show was horrible, but...
You know, the art wasn't so bad. The villains, I think, was just what really... didn't do it for me.
It was like Simon Greedley and stuff. And like there's some like dude who's like always trying to like drill for oil and stuff. And there's like that there's that crazy like Russian like I don't know, was she like Icelandic or something, where she had like half her face burned off. Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
She was a two-faced woman.
Yep.
Ish. But I forgot like what her pollution was. It was always like beauty makeup, because She was hideously scarred.
Yeah, I think she was, like, constantly, like, trying to, like, kill animals or something, or, like, trying to, like, harvest animals or, like, destroy rainforests to get, like, flowers and stuff.
No idea. I just remember there was, like, a pig cop guy.
A pig cop? Oh, yeah. That, I think that was Simon Gridley. The big, like, the huge fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he was, like, I think he was the one constantly drilling for oil or, like, trying to find, like, oil or, like, other resources. And, like, I'm going to plow the rainforest to get this oil.
Try to get this oil thing.
So yeah, it's coming out from Shout Factory, who like they've been doing like Mr. Science Theater and Transformers and G.I. Joe, so I'm sure there's like a bunch of special features and stuff, like way more effort than Captain Planet deserves. But 4-disc season 1 Captain Planet, and then other stuff coming out.
Is that the whole season or just
season 1? Yeah.
How many seasons were there?
Like 3, maybe 3 or 4.
Wow. All right. Never mind.
That was also, like, I think that was one of the last shows that had, like, PSAs at the end of it, too.
Oh, yeah. Their PSAs kicked the ass because it was, like, more polluting talk.
See,
the whole series of Captain Planet could just be about PSAs. Yeah. But they said it'd make all, like, more.
We need some action instead of just, like, telling kids not to litter.
Yeah. We need to save our planet.
Mm-hmm. So, also this week is The King's Speech, Best Picture winner this year. None of us have seen it, I don't think.
Nope.
Apparently it's really good, so I don't know. Maybe I'll put it in my queue. And then, something coming out, I thought this was already out, but I guess it wasn't, but the Diamond Edition of Bambi on Blu-ray.
How many times can we watch Bambi get shot? I mean, Bambi's mom get shot.
I don't know. You can see it in high definition now.
God damn it.
Also this week, Gulliver's Travels, the Jack Black version. That looked horrible when I walked into it at work.
Yeah.
Jack Black is tall! Ha ha! That's the joke. Isn't that funny?
He's bumbly. Ah.
He's going to fart on people. So yeah, that looked horrible. And then also this week, The Way Back, which is this Ed Harris, Colin Farrell movie, like based on a true story about these guys who like escaped from this like Russian gulag and like walk like 5,000 miles. Apparently it's also...
Who's in it besides Ed Harris?
Colin Farrell.
Jesus.
And then...
Okay.
American Dad, Volume 6. I don't know what's on that one. Oh, look.
I actually like American Dad.
It looks like the... It looks like the one... it's got, like, sort of like the... I don't know. Like, the first Christmas special when, like... It was, like, the apocalypse. So, like, around that era. So, was it, like 2 years ago or a year ago or something?
Oh, is that the one? Yeah, I think it was a year ago, because that's the one where they waited for Jesus to show up?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yep. So yeah, probably like the last year or so of American Dad. And then season 6 of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is out this week.
How have they not completed that?
I don't know. How many seasons of Fresh Prince were there? Like 8?
At least. Like, I remember they covered when he arrived, did high school, and then all the way to, like, college, and then all the way until they moved out of the Bel Air.
Yeah. I don't know.
At some point, they changed Aunt Vibs, so.
Yep. And then Jazzy Jeff just sort of disappeared.
Yeah. They threw him out, and he never came back.
Mm-hmm. So, also this week, Ip Man 2.
What?
Ip Man 2.
Oh, they just meant Hitman. I was like, what, they made another Hitman?
Oh, dear God, no. I guess, Ip Man was, like, the guy who, like, trained Bruce Lee or something, right?
He was the guy that, like, kicked the people out of Japanese out of China.
Yeah. But I thought, like, Bruce Lee, like, trained under him or something.
Yeah, he trained, not him, but he taught a lot of people
yeah.
kung fu, mm-hmm. and then they taught the next line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if Ip Man was the direct one, but he did something.
Mm-hmm. Enough to do two movies based on him.
Three.
Is a third one coming out?
I think there's a third one.
Hmm.
But
it's like Ong Bak.
It's my instant watch, the first one, so I'll probably get to that eventually.
Also this week, we have a Steven Seagal directed DVD movie.
Oh.
Born to Raise Hell. Steven Seagal, Born to Raise Hell.
Is he the one born to raise hell? Because isn't he like 60?
I guess Steven Seagal is born to raise hell on the DVD cover, so it looks like he's in like some Russian country, as usual. And then, what are you gonna
say? I was saying like, well, okay, there's a movie to like watch when drunk.
Yes, that'll be on Netflix instant watch in like a week. Or two. So, also this week we have Street Kings 2, Motor City, sequel to the well-loved hit Street Kings.
Like, I'm still confused of why they even named it a Street Kings 2, and the first movie was terrible.
Yeah. There's also,
like Keanu Reeves is a cop.
There's, like, a bunch Chris of movies sort of like that coming out. Because there's, like, the Christian Bale movie Harsh Times and stuff coming out. There's a bunch of, like,
what?
Harsh Times with Christian Bale.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It was like, sort of like that, what was it, like, 2005 or something, or sort of, like, mid-2000s?
I think even, yeah, around there, because I just remember he kind of, like, was this before or after Batman Begins?
It was before, I think.
And then,
or, like, I think it might have been
Blockbuster bought the rights to it, so you could only run Harsh Times through Blockbuster for a while.
Oh, my God, yeah. But then there was, like, that, like, weird, like, We Own the Night and, like, all these, like, weird, like I think Departed kicked it off, kind of. Like, Departed, like, won the best picture, and I was like, we gotta have, like, a gritty cop movie. So, yeah, Street Kings 2 with Ray Liotta.
He was in things like Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Bart.
And then, let's see, a couple more things. We have UFC 126, Silver versus Belfort. I don't know. Where's Joe to like tell us if that was good or not? I think he said that was a good card. So, and then you can get all four Hellraiser movies in one pack now.
Oh yeah, because you know,
hold on.
Everyone's seen all four. Wait, to be honest, I've only seen like two.
And actually, I don't know if the first. I'm looking at the set, and I don't know if the first one is actually in the set. There's like three, and two, and four, and like I don't see one. But
one was a good one. Second one was okay because it talked more about Pinhead.
Yeah.
Because the first one, it's not about Pinhead. He's not the mascot of Hellraiser. It just he happens to be a Cenobite.
Yeah.
That's just in there.
But he was like he was like. I don't know, he was like the Fonzie of Hellraiser 1.
So like, he was the Fonzie.
So he took over the rest of the movies. Yeah, because like the first one, there was like all the other, there's like the weird ones, like that guy with like the chatterer or something. Like the crazy mouth. And there was like the fat
one. I don't remember any of them. I just remember there's like a seductress one, and then there's just like.
There's like the fat one who had like his like stomach open.
Hmm.
And stuff, yeah. So, yeah, you can get a bunch of Hellraiser this week if you want. And then on Blu-ray, we have Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat Annihilation on Blu-ray.
Things you should not see in high def.
First Mortal Kombat is still awesome.
Yeah, to be honest, it's not that bad. Only in comparison. Like, it did the whole tournament fight pretty well. Just have a tournament and just have wacky, yeah. like, training montages, if that, and then that's ended. Don't get any further into detail.
It's just
what the second one had to go sport, so much.
It was wacky Bloodsport, pretty much. Which is like, if Bloodsport had like fatalities and special moves.
But they weren't any good.
Hmm.
Like there was one fatality, and that was, like, Goro's backbreaker, and that's not even, like, a bloody one. It was just like, ah, I'm gonna pick up this, like, African-American karate fighter.
Well, they did, like, Johnny Cage's, where, like, he, like, caused Scorpion to blow up, and, like, he threw the pitcher at him and stuff.
No, the pitcher flew automatically, I think. I don't think it was even, like, he threw it at him.
Oh, I think
Scorpion had it, yeah. Remember?
I don't know, I thought he just, like, threw it at him or something, and then, like, and then it was, like, Sub-Zero, like, froze someone, broke him, and then, like, they did, like, Johnny Cage did, like, his low blow to Goro and stuff.
Yeah, he did do that. That was pretty funny.
There was a lot of, like, if you play the games, there was, like a little, there was a bunch of touches, like, fan shoutouts in the Mortal Kombat movie.
But then Mortal Kombat... Like, I was trying to look for them. Like, only in the second one did they have, like, bestiality thing.
Oh, animalities?
There you go.
Bestiality is something else.
But, you know.
Yeah, the second one.
But animality, they actually had one. But like, they made that really retarded, like, Nightwolf thing where Nightwolf was like, hey, you like that? That's my animality.
You gotta meditate.
I become a giant wolf. It's like, that's because you're Native American? No, it's because of my kung fu.
Yeah. And then, like, the end of that movie, just, like, two blobs of CG just, like, slapping at each other.
Two blobs slapping. Oh, man.
And, like, Malibu was in it for some reason. Malibu from American Gladiators as Mintaro.
Yeah, and then they dropped a cage on her.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Cage was in there for like 2 seconds yeah, before dying.
Like 2 minutes into the movie, guys, neck snapped.
And I was like, he is the luckiest person
yes,
in
is.
His movie experience. Because I had watched the whole
and, like,
thing.
Half the cast didn't come back, so they had like weird like 40-year-old Sonya and stuff. And, like, not Crystal...
She wasn't 40, but she wasn't young, I can tell you that.
Not Highlander Raiden.
Oh, no, it was, what's his face?
It was, like the guy is like, in everything.
Dexter's dad, hold on.
Oh, yeah. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Hold on.
And, like, Shao Kahn just, like, he's, like, just some, like, weird, like, bald guy running around.
Like, it was James Raymer.
Yeah. I just like,
you know, the dude from other successful movies, and now he's in this.
Mm-hmm. He wears, like, the mask for, like, a minute, and then just, like, takes it off, and like, alright, I'm walking around like this, and I have a crazy voice.
The first movie, Shao Kahn, you didn't see him. He was a person in a cloud.
Yeah, he just appeared
and then...
and it was like, oh my god, come back from Mortal Kombat 2!
Yeah, and that was pretty cool because it set it up for a possible sequel. But yeah. Then they actually made that sequel, and it pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I was like, wow, action. Then now, as more of a teen, I was like, okay, why are they doing this? What? What's with these, like, roller balls in the earth?
Mm-hmm. Had, like,
why is Jax, like, a new Jax?
Yeah, and, like, Cyrax shows up for, like, 5 minutes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. So anyway, yeah. So both of those are on Blu-ray. And last thing this week, on Blu-ray, Short Circuit 2.
Oh, boy.
Two thumbs up from Ebert and Siskel and Ebert.
Like, I actually did like Short Circuit, but it's like
Short Circuit is a classic. It's an 80s classic.
It's such a 90s movie, too. They can't remake this movie without making it seem like an evil robot or a too friendly robot like Wally.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Johnny Five is so crappy. Like, I don't know. How would you, like, make it so, like, it would seem like something that was made in, like, this decade?
All you had to do was wait for Johnny Five to be near stairs, and you push him.
Yep.
As hard as you could.
Like, I don't know how that plan was going to work, either, like, for, like, deploying Johnny Fives in battle. It's like these, like, stupid robots, like, going out, like, shooting lasers.
Well, the first movie addressed that really fast, you know. I actually like the first movie a lot. But the second movie I enjoyed as a kid because it was like, oh, I live in New York. And then, like, oh, he's in New York. And he's going through all these typical New York things, like befriending minorities and, like, being tricked by an evil rich white guy.
Yep.
And then, like, there's that, like, we need a hero montage where, like, his battery power's dying and, like... He's trying to catch the bad guy.
Oh, Short Circuit.
Oh, Short Circuit. How you taught me nothing about electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And then, at the end, he becomes a citizen. I remember
that. U.S. citizen.
He gets his green card.
Johnny Five is a citizen! Johnny Five going to vote!
Johnny Five did it. He is now an American.
Yeah! And that was the beginning of the robot apocalypse.
Yeah. Now that he's an American, he's going to abuse all his rights. And he almost did.
Johnny Five running for president! Yeah, so that's all that's coming out this week. So, want to wrap this up though, because we thought this was gonna be a short one. We've been talking for like an hour and 20 minutes. So,
wow.
Yeah, I thought this was gonna be like a half hour episode, but I guess not. So, if you want more information, you go to www.everythingaction.com. You can find all our articles and posts that go up. At least I'm gonna say at least 2 posts a day. Or at least one post a day, but usually 2. And
whatever you feel like.
Yeah, depending on, like, if I have to work or not, since I'm like the only one who writes articles. But
sorry, it's
all the
other people are doing things.
You can find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com, searching for Everything Action. You can join our Facebook group on there, and usually new stories go up as we post them, and then you can see them on Facebook. Comment on those. Send us links to like news that you find on the internet, and then maybe we'll put on a site or talk about it on the podcast and stuff. And you can chat with us too. And find us on Twitter at twitter.com/EVAction. Jared runs that, retweets a bunch of news stories, comments on them, sometimes live blogs while he watches movies, just retweets a bunch of random stuff on the web. So definitely follow EVAction on Twitter. And you can also find us on iTunes by going to iTunes News Store, searching for Everything Action Cast, and you can subscribe there, give us a review, rate us, leave comments, all that stuff. And also on there is our app as well, which you can download for your iPhone. It's free. And it gives you the last 20 news stories from the site and also lets you listen to the podcast. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.